Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? The final episode of this deep dive series at the Nuts and Bolts Conference. And we always talk about in the system build lifestyle of begin with the end in mind. And every conference, every meeting I go to, everyone always says, get us involved early and often. And so we always talk about how to design to begin with the end in mind. And this is the final podcast of this deep dive series where we started off with Barb and Lexi about the founders and the origin story of Trailhead and what IDD is all about and getting it to move forward and using this Nuts and Bolts conference as a platform for that. Then we went and talked about how to build out an IDD project with Jim Shipton and Greg Krause, the guys who made it all happen. And we're going to finish this whole thing out with my guest co-host, Matt McMullen, who's been on a lot of great podcasts with me. I have to have Matt McMullen here to talk about how to design for IDD. Right, Matt?
Hey, so here we sit, man, at the Cheyenne Mountain Resort, a little slice of paradise. And we are at the base of Cheyenne Mountain, Pikes Peak, and just south of the Air Force Academy, man. Unbelievable.
Awesome. So the main message of this podcast is how to design for IDD, and make sure you go back and listen to the other episodes and learn if you're not sure about what IDD is and how to actually execute on this project. But to begin with the end in mind, talking about how to design and using tech as your strongest ally. And my perspective is that the journey of executing this from the passion of the people that are at the table with me today, you really have to get the right partners and have them aligned. And be careful what talking tracks you use, because words matter, and we're going to have some fun with this about with technology enthusiasts, and make sure we figure out how to not just talk about shrubbery and carpet, but figure out how to have safety and community as the overriding. So it's an honor to have Ken and Beth here. We're going to hear their stories, starting off with Ken. Ken, what is your favorite beverage?
This is a pretty easy one for me. So every morning for almost every single morning for possibly 10 years now, I've made myself a bulletproof coffee, which I learned on a podcast. Dave Asprey, right?
I think I know what it is, but now you got to tell us all.
So it's butter coffee. It's a tablespoon of butter, a tablespoon of MCT or coconut oil, medium chain triglyceride oil, and I add a packet of sugar, and I've started every day with that. It's a shot of good, healthy fats to turn your brain on every morning.
Good Lord. Unbelievable.
Isn't it amazing the beverages you hear out there, right? Tell it about the favorite place you've traveled, Ken.
My favorite place to travel to has got to be Jamaica, which is my wife's home country. We first visited there on our honeymoon and just fell in love with the people and the different parts of it. And that's our second home.
Outstanding. And we're going to get to hear your full story and what you do at Layer 10. But what is your favorite hobby or passion outside of that, that we passionately call the art of construction?
So I can't narrow it down to just one. So I'm going to call it Florida Gator football, of course. And born and raised in Florida, went to University of Florida before moving out to the very similar Denver, Colorado. And jiu-jitsu.
Awesome. Well, we also have Beth at the table. Beth, what is your favorite beverage?
So I'm going to say iced tea. It has to be unsweet tea with a splash of sweet tea. And certain restaurants have it perfect, and there are others that I'd never ask that combination. So if anyone who knows me knows I carry around iced tea all day long, it's kind of my addiction.
There we go. And what about the favorite place you've traveled?
So without a doubt, Italy. I am Italian, and I'm actually, my hands aren't moving right now. I'm trying not to move them too much. So I am loud and I speak with my hands, and not until I went to Italy, and Southern Italy specifically, did I say, whoa, these are my people, where entire conversations can be held. No words, just hands. So without a doubt, Italy. Yeah, all over Italy.
And what do you like to do outside of what we're going to talk about today when it comes to IDD?
So anything outside, hike and go on walks, camp, anything outside. But like you, I can't say just one. Kind of fitting, I absolutely love design, and there is an app out there called House, and it's like my crack, if you will. I mean, if I'm standing in line at the post office, I'm on House constantly, or realtor.com. So all I do is look at houses and design all the time, just for fun.
All right, Matt, we're going to have as much fun as possible here on this afternoon. So what an honor to have Ken Wilkinson of Layer 10. What is your story that led you to being the founder and managing partner at
Layer 10? Yeah, so my founding partner, co-founder Josh Harold and I, we worked together at another consulting firm, and we each had the opportunity back-to-back, actually, to do this kind of work. We're career consultants, career tech guys, IT. I started off as a COBOL CICS programmer, which will put a date to the gray hair and the beard. And as a consultant, you rarely have the opportunity to see the physical manifestation of your efforts. It's back office stuff. It's a system that runs a little smoother. It's an organization that's restructured a little bit. And when I had the opportunity to work with DaVita Healthcare, the kidney care company, when they relocated their office to Denver from California, they were a client of our firm's. That relationship transitioned to our office here in Denver, and I took over that account, and they needed help building their building. And I'd never done anything like that kind of work before, and just absolutely fell in love with it. It was hard, it was challenging, but it was so fulfilling. And it was about solving problems and overcoming obstacles throughout the way, because there's always something in a build project, you know, something comes up. And the tech is usually so forgotten. It was just this green field need to fill. And then shortly after I did that, Josh had the opportunity to have a very similar role for Boulder Community Hospital, building a new wing for them. Fast forward a few years, and I have since left that firm that we worked for at the time, and Josh was still there, and he was back at DaVita building and working on another project, a disaster recovery business continuity project. Not very interesting. Don't tell him I said that.
And I know he'll be listening to this podcast later.
and he reached out and he asked for an introduction to the CIO at DaVita, because he learned they were building another office. And I hadn't heard that, and I was looking for a change, and I thanked him for that information, told him I will be making that phone call, I will be asking about that building, but it's not going to be for you, it's going to be for me. So try to fast forward a little bit, came back, started working on that project. Josh is there, and we start talking over a series of lunches about, you know, this is just the best work we've ever done. And he's jealous because I got the second building. And then we start asking questions. Is there an opportunity here to fill this gap? That there's all this technology that can help enhance. And we were looking at offices at the time. That's what I was building. But the office experience, the employee experience, there's so much technology that's out there that's available. And this is 2016. And this is only even more true now, that it's such a rapidly evolving space. Smart office, smart home, smart building, smart city. Even then, it was already growing significantly. But there's so much opportunity, but it's not being capitalized on by the developers and the owners and the tenants. They just don't know how to connect with it. So we decided to start Layer 10 and look, take it from a consulting perspective. So we say we go very broad. We go across all the different technology verticals when you're talking about audiovisual, physical security, wireless access, cellular boosting, IoT, building management systems, everything that touches the internet, including the internet itself. So if it connects to the internet, it usually falls in our scope. But we don't go particularly deep in any of these areas. There are people that do that. There are AV integrators. There are security integrators. And they're good at what they do. And we don't want to compete with them. We don't want to swim in those waters. So we try to play at a different level and connect our clients with the right technology and the right integrators to deploy the right technology.
So you're kind of like a technology concierge in a sense.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. Yeah, we use some of the frames of reference that we use is we act as a technology owner's rep. And then when we move into build, we act as a technology GC.
So we've learned a little bit about Layer 10, your background. correct me if I'm wrong, you're on the board of Trailhead and you're very passionate about this conference. Why is that?
I'll tell a little bit of story about my origin story with Trailhead. My partner and I were at a conference, just a regular building conference. It was not specific to the neurodiverse community. And a man came up to our booth and was looking at our stuff. So I introduced myself and he said, you know, I think I need what you have. And so that's a great place to start the conversation. How can I help you? And he started telling me about Trailhead. And, of course, he had no way of knowing that he was talking to a parent of a teenager with autism. And so he's telling me the story and the mission of Trailhead. And, you know, I'm getting choked up. And because that's the thing as a parent of an autistic child, it's the thing that keeps you awake at night is what happens when her mother and I are not here. And, you know, she's fortunate to have siblings, but it's a burden to put on them. And just, I'd never heard of Trailhead. I you know, all I knew was, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get a group home, but that's a whole another conversation. And so we finished that, his name is John, and we finished that conversation. And I said, yeah, I think I need to be involved in this. And within weeks we were part of the team. And yeah, so it's become a passion project for me and a labor of love. And so a couple of months ago, I was the board position opened up, and so I raised my hand and was brought on board for that.
Awesome. And Beth Rodriguez, what is your story that led you to being on the board for Trailhead Community?
So I am an occupational therapist by trade. I was working in a day program for adults with developmental disabilities, and it's actually the parent company, if you will, of Trailhead Community. Trailhead Community kind of broke off as a nonprofit from this other company. So I was working with the adults with IDD, and I saw Barb in this other room, and I kept thinking, what is that lady doing in there, and what are they drawing on paper? And so I just walked in and I said, what are you guys meeting for? And she said, oh, we're going to be building a building for these guys here. And I thought, well, I need to be part of this because I have this passion for design. I grew up with a father who's a general contractor and grew up on a job site, and I just love design. Plus, I've got the OT background of working with individuals to gain them independence in all their occupations of life, right? How I can be the creative problem solver to help these individuals do life at their best for health and wellness. So that's how I got started. And so about 7 years ago, I started this. Actually, I don't even think we had a board at that point. We were just a bunch of people together talking before we even started the board. So I've been part of it about 7 years and have absolutely loved every bit of it. The challenges. But it's been a great opportunity, all the people I've met and using my skill set. So what I've been part of with Trailhead is the design. I've been consulting with architects and the builders from day one with designing the physical space of the building to be as accessible as it can be with universal design concepts, but also it goes beyond physical space. I'm looking at it through, you know, cognitive impairments that a lot of our folks have, wayfinding, things like that. So I'm kind of looking at it through the eyes of the adults I work with and how they best can live in this environment. And you don't even know, Ken, how much we're going to be working together with the tech, because each person might have to have it adapted a little bit better because some of our folks can't read. Some of them might need bigger icons. So you and I are going to be working together a ton individually for our folks to get them to be successful with the IT in the rooms.
Yeah, and that's kind of the perfect segue here, as we can't be at every breakout, you can't be at every conference, you can't know everything about every project. It's just you have to figure out how to get people that know, like, and trust to come and work together. And that's what I love doing these podcasts in the middle of a conference when you're really feeling it and going different directions. And I kind of want to unpack, because we just came out of the lunch sessions where Ken and Matt did the keynotes, and I got to hear both of those. And sitting in and listening to your passion with Greg, the GC of the project, where episode two, talking through Jim and all these experts, right? And we always talk about the riches are in the niches, and you have to have people that really understand that deep breadth of something, or you're really horizontal. And that's really how projects of, like, the horizontal part where, Ken, you, at the lead-in, you kind of talked about, we want to be that concierge that's really understanding the whole scope of that project and then take the niches down and put those all together. So I want to go down the journey of the keynote that you guys both gave, where Matt is a lifelong learner and Ken kind of talking about where you really have to think about technology on the forefront instead of at the end. And then I love how Beth just talked, you know, Ken, we're going to be working together a lot because you're now thinking about the health and wealth of the building after it's built, right? Matt, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, that the team thing is what I just noticed. And that's the successful thing that all of our listeners know, is that you got to have the right members on the team. And what we just heard was, like, if you put it in an automotive sense, you know, it's like, is Ken is bringing, like, the supply chain and all the parts that are needed and all the disciplines that are needed in order to satisfy the IT component of it. And then Beth is coming in and saying, you know what, we're going to be working together, and it's really like a customization mechanic. So it's like, I know it's not just a car. I've got a Jaguar in one room. I've got a Cadillac in another room. I've got a Prius in another room. And we're going to have to come in here and fine tune this. So that's when you know you got a successful project, when people understand the subtleties of each other's disciplines.
And the passion, like you talked about, Matt, and my saying, I always say, vision without traction is a hallucination. And I got that from Gino Wickman, the founder of EOS, that I've really been a lot of tutelage from that, because you have to be able to get the project to move forward. Like, passion is what gets you going and keeps you going, but you have to figure out how to make it actually come together. And Ken, at your presentation, you talked about corporate design. And Matt, you talked about how this group of individuals of a community. And it gets me so fueled up, because there's a lot of rooms you sit in and it's just a lot of people there to check the box, right? And life is too short to just check the box. So, Ken, I want to turn it over to you of kind of relive the presentation you gave to us all here and kind of talk through that. What has been different with this project?
You know, aside from the personal connection that I have with it and the passion that I have with it, and I told a story during my talk that as a consultant, we tell all of our clients that, you know, you're my favorite client, but this is the first time that it's ever been true with Trailhead. And now I tell all my clients, you are my second favorite client. And that always gets their attention. I say, what do you mean your second favorite? And then and it gives me an opportunity to tell the Trailhead story. So the more attention that we can bring to this problem, always take that opportunity. And what I would say is that it's really the people that we're working with, the passion that you keep mentioning in this work. You know, most of our clients, they're doing it to satisfy a need, yes, but also to earn a dollar. And there's nothing wrong with this. I'm a for-profit organization. You know, I'm trying to make money too, but it lacks that passion, that drive, and that many times. And we've worked with some great developers and some great owners and tenants and building out spaces, and the need for looking at everything differently, the challenge that this unique population brings across the board. Like you said, we need to make the icons bigger. Well, that's a unique challenge. We love that. And this is the project that we've been on where we've been most often asked a question about the tech that we didn't have an answer ready for, because we can't know everything about everything. But when we started this recording this podcast till this moment, something new has been released in regards to smart home, smart office, smart city technology, right? So we can't know it all, but it's been with the Trailhead folks that we've most often said, you know, I don't know. I think we can probably do that, but I'm going to have to do some research. And that's the stuff we love.
Yeah, and figuring it out as you go is just the reality. And one of my big takeaways from your conversation was, is like hitting them, meeting them where they are, as Matt always talks about, but calling a spade, where you're like AEC, MEP, you're like, I want to be the TMEP of all of these acronyms. And we spend a lot of time talking about acronyms and words matter. And Matt was up there on stage with the book that mattered to him with sticky notes all over in it. And as a lifelong learner, it takes a lot of life to figure out how to put that stuff together. But one of my big takeaways from that was the TMEP, technology, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, because mechanical, electrical, and plumbing has got grouped into this thing that is very complicated, that when Beth is there to try to help the people that are living in that building, the technology is the tail wagging the dog. And that's what I think you talked a lot about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't start then. You know, when we're at MEP, if that's when you're gauging technology, you're too late. I want to be as
you mean I just need to buy the thermostats. That's all that matters, right?
If you've got an Ecobee, you're fine. Yeah. you're covered. And yeah, I mean, we want to be early in the conversation. We want to be part of the AEC. We want to be brought in during design, if not concept phase. And when it's done right, that's what happens. That's when we're brought in. And Trailhead, because of that sort of serendipitous meeting with the architect, we were brought in really early. So we were able to help with design decisions, physical structure design decisions, MEP decisions, that had they not been made with technology in mind, we would have had to design our way out of that in the end.
I'm more of a fan of MEPT. MEPT, you know, it has kind of a Hebrew biblical feel to it. But yeah, no, I agree exactly with what you say, Ken, is when you think about it, and this has been in 6 years as a facilities director at UCAR, NCAR, and Boulder, is that you really realize that building automation systems and having all the systems talk to each other is absolutely crucial. And why would technology not be the hub connector for all those things? And why would those people not be sitting at the table when that's going on? So I couldn't agree with you more.
And there's a whole, we could do a whole show just on that, just on the value and the of sustainability and leveraging technology to create those, because you've got the physical things that you can do to your building and the physical design of the structure that will help you build a greener building. But there's a role for technology, and that's one where technology often ends up being the less expensive option than building green. We do a whole nother show on that.
Yeah, and that's the challenges of the trade-offs, right? And that's why I like to bring the different parts to the table and have different conversations. But at the end of the day, like, we all want to be given a seat at the table, but you better add value when you're given a seat at the table. And that's the part that we have to all figure out. When Beth, at the beginning, you know, until you had to get the finance, the, you know, all these people, and then figure out, here's the parameters, right? And on episode 2, how to get it built is a key thing, but you have to have the experts that know how to work within those parameters and be able to answer your questions, right? And so one of the big takeaways that we were talking about is, you know, you asking questions of like, of course, we have this beautiful mountain views. We need to have a rooftop patio, right? So can you talk through of the challenges of everybody at the table? But if everybody's there at the table, how do you get stuff done?
So, of course, the board had these fabulous ideas of how we wanted this building to look. And none of us were in the actual building industry, so we didn't know cost, right? And we're trying to make this as affordable as possible to build, right? Because we had, you know, bake sales can only go so far and galas can only go so far. So we thought, oh, yes, beautiful views. We want a rooftop patio. It snows in Colorado. We want underground parking for sure, Greg. We had all these great ideas. I wanted skylights all over the dining room to bring more light in. And it did take my architect and our GC to say, that would be beautiful. How much money do you have? And, you know, I hadn't heard value engineering before until I started this project. Give and take, and we learned that not everything, we couldn't get it all. But great team to not make us feel too bad about our hopes and dreams. But we definitely still have some great design in there. I said, I want, you know, our windows, as long as you could bring the outside in. That was the whole point. I needed to see not light and openness, and so they gave us a great courtyard if I couldn't have my rooftop deck. But even with you, Ken, so they came in at the perfect time because we knew what we wanted. We knew this building, Trailhead, the core of it is community. You can give anyone an apartment somewhere. In fact, a lot of the folks I work with IDD have lived independently in apartments. They've lived maybe about a year, and they all come back home because they absolutely are isolated. At night, they don't know their neighbors. They because they're living in just, you know, the communities. They sit alone. They don't typically have transportation because they typically not too many can drive. And so they sit alone, isolated. And so Trailhead is trying to combat that. I mean, yeah, we're creating safe, beautiful condo or, you know, units for them, but it's truly the community. So then how can we form a community that IT piece? Like we've got tons of open space on the main level with, you know, sports courts and media rooms and art studios and all this stuff. Well, we want our community to have a Super Bowl party, have all of these things, and let's do a yoga class here and there. Well, how are we going to tell everyone in the building that this is happening at this hour? So we told our IT people, how can we figure this out? And so what I love about you, Ken, is that we have all these great ideas, and you are not afraid to say, good question. Let me figure that out. We're going to figure that out. And the research you do to figure that stuff out for us, because we haven't gone in any buildings yet that do that. I mean, we haven't seen any yet that can connect front desk to that room or, yeah. So that's what I love about you guys is you'll be like, all right, we're going to figure that out for you. Nothing has scared you yet.
Yeah, no, we don't scare easily. And that's where, you know, that's where we thrive, I think, is when we're faced with those challenges. And a lot of people, you know, they see technology as an impediment to community and connectedness. And we try to look at it a little differently, especially with this population. And you know, I've witnessed this firsthand with my daughter is she does have a tendency to isolate. Mm-hmm. And so how can we bring people together? And we do that not just through technology. We do that through the space and the structure and the amenities that we're building. And on top of that, you build the programming. But then you use the technology to enhance each of those and then to bring it all together through communication, digital signage, smartphone app and things like that, websites, to bring it all together. Amazon Alexa, making announcements.
Yeah, I used the term hub connector earlier, and I think that's a little too descriptive. I think it's more like node connector, because that's really what IT is doing, is it's taking all these various functions and spaces and activities, et cetera, and all of that flows through, Ken, with what you guys are doing with Layer 10 and providing like the broadest form of notification of how to stay engaged in that community. So one thing I was going to ask about too is just as we're talking is, you know, universal design, aging in place, and your occupational therapy background, right, as an occupational therapist. And I know OTs, and they're like some of the most empathetic, loving, caring, generous people that I know. It's just unbelievable. But can you talk a little bit about what your role has been and what, you know, just quickly, what's universal design, what's aging in place specialist, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about what you're doing for the community, but specifically how you're qualified to do that.
There's a certification called Certified Aging in Place Specialist. So I have that specialist through the Home Builders Association is who's runs that certification. But basically, we've put all these universal design concepts into the building. It's basically when you think about simple living, simplifying living for everyone. I'm not just talking about someone with a disability. It's you bringing in a baby stroller. It's you bringing in a shopping cart or a rolly suitcase. Being able to manage your spaces easily. Something as simple as, you know, you've got a handful of groceries and you need to get through the door. We talked actually with you, Ken, we needed to make sure we had that button, you know, the blue button that just opens a door immediately, and a couple more spaces in our building that wouldn't, code didn't need it, but we wanted it for ease of living. In our building, we are, there'll be no steps needed. We do have staircases, of course, for safety, but we do have two elevators. So from the time you walk in the front door to get into your unit itself, there are no steps you would need. We've chosen to do walk-in showers on every single unit. We've put special little design elements throughout the building to just make life easier for everyone. Our kitchens, we did not design with kitchen islands because if someone did use a mobility device, that could be a barrier. So you can bring in your own table if you wanted it island high, if you wanted it lower. So just thinking about the flexibility of spaces, we're very cognizant of putting in single handle kitchen faucets or bathroom faucets, which a lot of this is code now for ADA, but it's just simpler ways to manage your environment. Single levers of that. We made sure we had overhead lighting because lighting is huge in homes to be able to see, and a lot of our residents will have visual impairments. So we have overhead lights that don't have to be on if you have sensitivities. We have fans in the rooms, don't have to be on if you have sensitivities, but it allows for it. We chose flooring that is the, not carpeting, but it's the LVT, is that what it's called, LVT, in all the units for easy cleanup, but also easy if you have a mobility device. So we've made certain choices through the building that are basically universal design concepts. And then what will happen is, there very well need to be people that certain modifications might need to be made for them in their own unit, and I'll be able to help with that to modify it even more. But
yeah, the part as we work on our closeout questions that we always ask everybody is that this weave of connectivity here of like really understanding the impact to change. Like that's really what I'm hearing from all these conversations. But Matt, then it takes people like you and us when it comes to what is quote unquote universal design to come in and get these perspectives of what we're really trying to build up, what we've coined as system built, to say, okay, the sport court is what I've heard about on every episode. And it's not the sport court, it's the actual community is a tool to the sport court. But to use the tool, you better have connectivity to understand how that works, right? And on the first episode, we talked about that to where it was like, oh, it's just so cool to be in your unit to say, instead of being locked off, you can go onto the tool and say, hey, does anyone want to shoot hoops? And find someone if they want to do that, and then after that, go to a Super Bowl party. And like from hearing Barb's first comment of like, I always talk about vision without traction is hallucination. Like now hearing everybody's stories, how they've jumped up to the plate, and Ken saying, we'll just figure it out with the easy button that we know all is not easy, right? Is to figure that whole thing out, to say, we want to help make meaningful change, and that's what I've heard all the way through. But we do have to find a way to come to these Riches in the Niches conference and scale that up. That's why my call to action is to go back to Greg and the team and say, okay, how could we system build this a little bit better? To instead of 85% AMI and learning, as Matt, you talked about on your keynote, was you better understand these books of what they call it so you can be able to combat that and say, you know what? I learned this building is 60%. Of livable space because the community was everything with this, right? And that's what I think is really cool. Matt, anything else you'd add before our closing comments of the questions that we get to ask these superstars here at the table?
No, just, one of the things I talked about during the keynote was just, sort of the step. So passion, or first vision, then passion, and then execution. And I think what we've heard on this podcast is, two incredible team players who are selfless. And though it does disappoint me a little bit with Ken, I always thought that people who went to the University of Florida knew everything, but I've been disabused of that belief. So,
we just don't always tell.
Well, I know there's modesty. But no, I think it's just, other thing I talked about was just being lifelong learners. And I think that's what Beth and Ken are exhibiting. Is the fact that, you know what? I'm an expert and I don't know, which is the best thing an expert can say. I don't know, but I will find out for you. So, yeah, those quick observations.
Well, the question I always ask from the first episode to this 300-something here being released today is a question I'm super excited to ask Ken. But I'm going to ask Ken first and then Beth second, because Ken is the expert in this question. But he also did say, while we're recording this podcast, 10 new technologies have come out, and we're all trying to figure out this crazy new tech world. And I've done a lot of podcasts around this thing, and one of the things that really hits home to me is that technology and the tools for technology, it takes a lot in construction to actually the bandwidth, the power, the infrastructure to make these things work. But if we were to wave that crystal ball, Ken, what is the future when it comes to technology and construction from your point of view?
Well, that's the question that I get asked most often. You know, what does the future hold, and can you predict the future? And I can't. But what I can predict, and this is where I like to focus my energy, is I can predict, I'm comfortable predicting there's going to be more of it. There are going to be more systems, solutions, services. They're going to require more bandwidth, and they're going to require more security. And there are going to be more vulnerabilities and more downstream effects. So how can we prepare for that? And this is something that we talk about a lot, is because you don't know what the future holds, build the infrastructure, especially when the walls are open. Now is the time to make sure that you're putting the infrastructure in place so that whatever those solutions are, and maybe some of them you have planned like we do for Trailhead. We know not all the technology is going to be live day one, but we're building the infrastructure so that we can then plug and play down the road. And it's good for phase two, phase three, phase four, and then there's phase N. We don't even know in 5, 10, 20 years what the needs and the opportunities to enhance the human experience within the space are going to be. So let's make sure we can respond then by making smart decisions and smart investments now.
And I was just going to provide some cover for Ken, because when you think about it, I call it the beta versus VHS conundrum, right? Everybody's trying to decide which one's going to be the thing and which one are you going to buy and what's going to be the future, and then MP3 and streaming smoked all of them, right? So yeah, absolutely, you got to look forward and say there's absolutely no way we could ever know, but provide the network capability to attach it.
So before I pass the baton to Beth, I have to give one of my favorite answers I ever got to this question in 300 plus episodes. Because whenever I ask a technology person, they always go into some kind of tech answer. But I asked this question to one of the founder of the company is called Be Public, and is Jonah and Edie. And Jonah gave a really good answer of build it like your kids were going to live in it and using technology around that. And then Jonah just sat back, and it was quiet for a while. And I said, Jonah, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction? And he's just sitting there. And he said, humans. And everybody stopped, and it was at a conference. It was a place like this, and everyone was like, whoa. You just like, and everybody kind of got chills, because I want to pass it to you, Beth, because you jumped into this project because of the passion and the sport court of being able to have a human be able to hit a button and be connect.
I'm always amazed every time you guys bring up something else. Oh, yeah, this is out there that I didn't learn. So I'm a little behind the ball and what's out there. But for me in this building especially is helping the folks use technology to live their best life in this building and allow them to get their needs met, however that might be, through community. Well, one point we haven't touched on, though, is we've got our folks living there, but you have to remember their families are a part of this team as well. And the remote monitoring is something that is huge with the families that we're working with. And so we haven't even touched on that, but what we're hoping to do is to allow the families to feel comfortable having their individuals living, their children, or live in this building safely. And our technology is going to allow that, because there'll be a connection even with the families. My goodness, even with doctors, with different care providers that they use, the technology can be used for that as well. So I'm just excited to have this building be a safe place that they can live their best lives at using technology to be able to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought of IT helicopter parent, you know,
hey,
like in a great
absolutely.
Way. In a great way.
And the idea is, you know, we're all taking these different perspectives and using these conversations to build it better, right? And the before we ask the last question, this is so rewarding for me because what I got Barb to really understand, her whole goal, and everybody I've been around all day long, like we're here because of Barb. And Barb's whole thing, she told a story, and if you haven't listened to episode one, go back and hear it, and you can hear her version of the story of how she met her goal by having a place for her daughter when she moves on to another place. That is some really cool stuff, but it's all these people now where she passionately feels good about that. So the final question that we always ask for our builders and affiliates that are listening and saying, maybe they should come in and look at a different segment than just go out and be in a traditional development like we talked about in episode two. Ken, and then Beth, what is your one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
Well, not surprisingly, my answer is going to be...
technology?
Yes. Add the T.
Shocking.
Is
or the humans.
Especially, yeah, right? It, especially in such a hyper-competitive marketplace that we're in right now, that it's you're leaving money on the table if you're not thinking about the opportunity for technology to make a difference in the space that you're conceptualizing, designing, and building. And if you can bring a partner in early to help you realize your complete the realization of what you're visioning for this project. It's what you're building, who it's for, and what experience are you trying to create for them. If you do that, that's done. But IT doesn't have a seat at the table. So if you give IT a seat at the table, then you're rounding out that whole picture, and then maybe eventually we'll get a TAEC and a TOAC and a TMEP.
And so I want to end with the beginning, because the part that really stuck out for me about this whole passion project today is one of my favorite things of this episode is when Beth looked at Ken and said, we're really going to be working a lot together. And there's so many projects when the keys are handed over, the project is done. And then it gets really squirrely about the handoff. But this one, the handoffs are just beginning from what I've seen. But Beth, if I think I heard you right, it was 2016-ish when you got on the board and kind of started this thing. And why I want you to be the last person, I think that's why Barb spoke for you to say, Barb started, but she wants Beth to say the final word of the building is almost done, but the story's just beginning. What is your one thing that you want to leave our builders and affiliates to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Honestly, it's knowing that there is an IDD community out there that is desperate for housing. It's just many people don't even know this is a thing, that so many of these folks live at home, and like I think we may have said earlier, with parents 60 and above, we need more housing. We need policy to bring more money to allow for more affordable housing for this population. So we need 100 of these buildings done tomorrow. The need is there, and we need to bring it to the forefront that this is a huge need in our communities all over. This conference has people from the East and West Coast all trying to do the same thing. And most importantly, there's no right model. Trailhead is doing this our way, but there are a couple more in Colorado doing this a little different way. And we need the choices. Our folks, no one model is going to fit. So we need lots of different types of models for choices for where these folks can live. But we need them badly. We have 200 people on our wait list for Trailhead alone. I mean, it's such a desperate situation that no one knows of. If you're not in the IDD community, you have no clue this is even a problem, honestly.
And I'm sure a lot of you are like me. You raise a hand and say, this morning I didn't even really know what IDD stood for because I haven't really lived it. And genuinely, from bottom of my heart, thank you all for stepping up and sharing these stories to say, you know, we all step up together to create better buildings, but you have to do it in ways that really is rewarding. And man, is this rewarding. So I really challenge people wherever you're at. And there's people that have flown in from all over for this conference that I met today, and they're coming up in a very different way than a lot of different conferences. So the riches are in the niches. IDD, learn about it, but go out there and get involved because it's definitely a passion. Matt, take us home.
So just absolute blessing to meet these folks. And as you mentioned, a woman flew in from Thailand for this. I mean, tell me how important that is, that she's willing to get on a plane and come here just for this specific conference in Colorado. So thanks for having me on the podcast as usual.
Awesome. Thanks for stepping up and sharing your story.